A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter and James and John to a high mountain where they could be alone. And there Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. The clothes Jesus wore became dazzlingly white, whiter than any earthly bleach could make them. Elijah appeared to them, as did Moses, and the two were talking with Jesus. Then Peter spoke to Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "how wonderful it is for us to be here. Let us make three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what he was saying, so overcome were they all with awe. Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and there came a voice from out of the cloud, This is my beloved, my own, listen to this one." Then suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, only Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the promised one had risen from the dead. They agreed to this, though they discussed among themselves what rising from the dead could mean. The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, word from the heart of God.
So last week, we talked about God loving us, that we should have no doubt that God loves us. In fact, there are still some envelopes back there with the message in it, "God loves you." So if there's anybody you want to send one of those to, there's some envelopes back there. So this week, we talk about that God is for us. In the midst of the trials and tribulations that we go through, sometimes we don't think that. Sometimes we think that God is against us. So that's our human head, our human mind, right? That part that says, if God loved me then, everything would be smooth. Well, if anybody here has had smooth, raise your hand. So that must mean that God loves all of us and God is for all of us. I was doing some research, and when we get into trouble, it's because of our unbelief. It's because we feel estranged. We feel separate, and we begin to isolate, and we turn in on ourselves, and that's when we get into trouble. We decide that something, some strong something, could fix us other than God. We think that there's something that could fill that hole in us other than God. And we try lots of things, chocolate, right? If we had enough, that would fill that hole in us. It could be money, it could be clothing, it could be cars, it could be sex, it could be alcohol or a substance, it could be learning more. But we try to find something that will fill that hole because we feel separate and we feel some kind of inner emptiness. Now, that doesn't have to mean this your whole life is spent that way, but we've all had moments like that where we say, where in the world is God? And surely something will make me feel better other than God. We can try to find lots of things. So that's where sin comes into it, and that's not a very popular word these days, but we all have those times when we turn away from God to try to find peace, to try to find happiness or contentment. So if that's kind of the sinful journey, what does the grace-filled journey look like? The grace-filled journey is that we're grounded in God and that we're connected to God. And we get filled up with the Holy Spirit, and that propels us outward. And we don't try to grab and hold on to anything. We're just moving with the Spirit. And we give our lives away, and it doesn't even hurt. We find a way to give, and that fills us up, knowing that there's more where that came from. So the more is that Spirit of God, that grace that compels us outward. And there's more from the source of life, and it's always available. So I ask myself, why do I fear when I have those nudges to give more or to do something or to say something out loud, to speak truth to power? When I get those nudges, why do I fear? And it's mostly because I'm relying on my own resources, not the abundant life of God. So I think about current situations and persons who are experiencing homelessness or refugees or asylum seekers or people being pushed out of their homelands. And those are all enormous, enormous challenges. How might we address that, right? But our study of holy moments says we don't have to do everything. We just got to do one thing. The thing we're called to do. And it might be this big or it might be this big. It might make us uncomfortable. It might make us scared. It might make us think somebody's not going to like me if I do it. And we just do that one thing, then it ripples out. So in the Holy Moments book, it calls it like this. You are made in the image of God. Act accordingly. You are made in the image of God. Act accordingly. Made in the image of God, you have an astounding capacity for goodness. The reservoir of goodness within you is vast. Will you hoard it or share it? When you share this goodness with others, the reservoir within you is supernaturally replenished. It's a never-ending source. Now is your time. Time to be bold with your goodness. Time to start creating holy moments. You were made in the image of God. Act accordingly. So when we think about the Transfiguration reading, Jesus took those three strong disciples up the mountain with him. What we don't quite know is whether Jesus knew what was going to happen or not. But what we do know happened when they arrived there and had been there a while. Something changed in Jesus, or something changed in the disciples' ability to see Jesus. And all of a sudden, he was like radiant, just glowing. And they were like, wow. I want to believe that Jesus needed that strengthening moment too. Jesus was human as well as God. And God said to him, you're my beloved one. And to the disciples, listen to him. And in that moment, Jesus was affirmed and strengthened to do what he needed to do. And the disciples got a new picture. And they were strengthened to do what they needed to do. Because the road was already getting rough, and it was going to get rougher. And then Moses and Elijah were there, the law and the prophets, and they were like, whoa. And then they were gone. And so in that moment, they received what they needed to do what needed to be done. And that's the promise if God is for us. we will receive what we need to do what needs to be done. We don't need to fear. We don't need to choose some other substance to fill up that place in us. We need to choose to follow the nudge we're receiving. So when you receive the nudge the first time, you might go, yeah, yeah. When you receive the nudge the second time, Third time, it's like, okay, I need to follow this. So that's why we're here in community. You might hear something and you may need some encouragement, or you may need to some other people to join you on the journey. So think about what happened when Cabrini said we need some stuff. Look at what came. So it's like we don't have to do it alone. Say it out loud and see if some people will join with you to make this next thing happen, this next ripple effect. So we're all called to follow those nudges, to be in the flow, to bring our inner strength to a troubled world. We are made in God's image.